This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Grow in us, child to be born. Grow and fill us with life. Make us your home. Grow in us, child to be born. Be born of tears and pain. In unshakable love. Grow to fullness in us, open us, and live through us. Amen. Please be seated. It was 25 years ago, and I was the associate part-time priest assisting Father Bill Hamilton in Lake Worth at St. Andrews. As most of you know, Father Bill was one of my heroes. And when I came to St. Andrews, when I met with Father Bill, he told me, "Marty, we need to shake these people up." And so he gave me permission to try some new things. And so one of the first times I preached was on this particular Sunday with this particular gospel. And I came up with the idea that I would dress myself up like John the Baptist, looking basically like a man of the streets, putting on this furry headpiece of a wig and wearing a fake beard. And Dee got me this thing that looked like sackcloth and ashes to wear. We put some charcoal on my face. And I sat in the back pew of the church. And the idea was, Bill was celebrating, but when it came time for the sermon, I would stand up and start singing that song from Godspell, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," and then just march down the aisle and look at all the people along the way to shake them up. The problem was, I did not tell the ushers I was going to do this. And St. Andrews at that time was a haven of a collection place for people who were homeless. They would actually sleep outside in the underhang outside the narthex overnight. And so these ushers were talking amongst themselves, and seeing this bum sitting in the last pew, they were going to take care of it. And so they started walking towards me with their shoulders out. And I had to pull my beard down and say, "Joe, it's Father Marty." They didn't know what was happening. They didn't understand. There was a new approach, and they had to be brought up to speed. This is what today is about. In all the readings that we have, it's about God's people needing to come to understand that something new is happening, and we need to sort of realign our hearts. We start with Mark's Gospel today, chapter 1. Now, if this was Matthew or Luke, and we're beginning to tell the story of Jesus, as we're going to hear on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, this beautiful, lovely story of the shepherds and the star and Mary and Joseph and wrapping that baby in swaddling clothes, this beautiful story of the nativity that we have all come to grow to know and love. This is Mark's nativity story. Mark's nativity story doesn't start with Jesus. It starts with John the Baptist. It starts with something new and something different. Mark is wanting to shake us up. You want to know about this Jesus? Let's start here with John, because if we can't start with John, we're never going to get to Jesus. And so he tells us very plainly and shockingly Prepare the way. Clear a path. Because if you want this Jesus in your life and in your hearts, that's where it has to start. Prepare the way. It is a nativity story. It's about new life being born in us. But it requires us to thinking about things in a little bit of a new way. This baby that's going to be born, the most unexpected way that we would think God would want to enter into the world as a defenseless little child with no status, with no notoriety, with parents that nobody cared for, thinking about things differently. That's what today is about. Now, thinking about things differently, for 23 years, you've always heard from me this part of my Advent sermon. So this year's no exception. How many of us remember the one strand of Christmas lights we forgot to put up last year? We don't. Because it really doesn't matter. We need to remember, you know, this is the week where panic starts to set in. Oh my gosh, Christmas is in a couple weeks. And we need to remember it will all get done. Why? Because it always gets done. And if it doesn't happen, maybe it wasn't supposed to. It's that time when we celebrate love incarnate in Jesus, and we have this permission to share that love extravagantly with those who are special in our lives. That is fantastic. But the minute that that effort starts to take away our hope, our peace, and in the next 2 weeks, our love and our joy, the minute that it starts to take that away, we need to rethink it. So, how many of us remember the people that we forgot to send a Christmas card to last year? We don't remember that stuff. How many people forgot to send us a card last year? It always gets done. What needs to be done gets done. So we concentrate upon those things that really matter. This reading we get from Peter today, there's a very important question he asks of us. If all this is coming to be and there's this new way we need to think about our lives, he says, then what kind of lives should we be leading now? It's that same call to rethink, to look at things in a different way. We don't like to talk about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It just doesn't sound like that's the way we want to concentrate upon a life full of grace. But we need to think about John and this whole idea of repentance in its literal sense. The word repent means to rethink. Re, again, pent, to think. To rethink it. Because there's something new that God is going to do. And so there's this opportunity for us to rethink our approach to our life. That's the gift that Advent gives us. There were so many people in Peter's day. Jesus said he was coming back, and 30 years have passed, and he hadn't come back. And people are starting to get worried, you know. Jesus told us he's coming back, and man, when's it going to be? And so, Peter, you got to rethink this. The assurance is that, yes, someday he will come, but in the meantime, there's a way that we should be living as if he's coming back tomorrow. And so he goes into this whole thing about You know, time is different for God. One day is like a thousand's like one day. You got to think about things differently, differently. It's the same with that Psalm 85 that we hear today, that there's a different way that we have to look at life. And there is this illusion that perhaps prophetically, when he talks about justice and peace have met, righteousness and peace, and he's drawing all these comparisons, and it's a very direct correlation between John the Baptist and Jesus, these two who come together to help us complete the picture of how we're supposed to live. And so we forget sometimes, but John and Jesus were cousins. They grew up together. They're only 6 months apart in age. We think about John, who was born to Elizabeth and Zechariah, and of course, they had prayed all their lives for a child, and now they're grandparent age, and they finally have a baby. And contrast this with Jesus, who's born to a 13-year-old unmarried girl named Mary. And the difference and the contrast that they have, but it points to the importance of that message being complete only when we take John and listen to John and clear out those obstacles in our hearts that prevent God from coming to birth in us, and then the fulfillment of John in Jesus. Pretty powerful stuff. It's the same in that Old Testament reading from Isaiah. You know, Isaiah is really three different books. There's first Isaiah, chapters 1 to 39. And in those first 39 chapters, man, it's like God is really out to get them. It's like God saying, you got thrown into exile and captivity because all these bad things that you were doing. And it's like this very judgmental kind of a God that's going on. But we get to chapter 40, and we start the second book of Isaiah, and it's a different way of being with God. He even switches the author to the future tense of what God is going to do. God is going to bring comfort with strength. God's going to give them strength. And they are going to be able to go back home out of exile. So think of this. They had gone into exile. Where did they go into exile? Through the desert. Now what's going to happen? They're going to come back through that same desert and they're going to remember. We remember when our ancestors had to walk this same route the other direction into exile, but God is bringing us home. And so there is this rethinking that remembering their past enables them to do to sort of get in touch with what God is enabling them to do, to think differently about their lives. In pilgrimage terms, we would call that a liminal space, where we have gone from one stage and we know that something new is coming, but we're not there yet. And so we have to ponder our past to understand where God is taking us into the future. How appropriate is that for us at this stage of our lives? So there is this incredible thing that John is trying to help us to focus upon. Think things new. Prepare the way. I just got back from St. Louis. And for me, this was a very significant, important trip because the childhood home that we had, that I grew up in, that all my six brothers and sisters grew up in, 60 years now that Mom had died, finally sold. And so this was the trip on the anniversary of Mom's birth to go back. And for me, it was to say goodbye to the house. And so my intent was to just get the key and go over to the house, and all the furniture is gone. It's just sitting there. To just walk through the spaces and just remember and offer some prayers. Well, I told my brothers and sisters this is what I was going to do, and they said, well, we want to go too. So we all met at the house. We enter into the house, and I said, this is what this is about. We're just going to go from room to room, and it's sort of a reverse house blessing. And we're going to go into each room, and anybody can say any memory that they had from that particular space. And of course, we did that, and there was at sometimes hilarious laughter going on with remembering funny things that each of us did. And there were tears, very poignant stories that each of us told at times about what we remember. And going into the living room and talking about the kids' table at the holidays. And finally, when you got to move from the kids' table to the adult table, boy, was that a big thing, huh? And going to my bedroom and looking up at the vent, and the vent went right down to the basement. And one of the few joys my dad had in his life was on Wednesday night, his buddies would come over and they'd play pinochle into the wee hours. And every time somebody threw a trump card onto the table, there'd be this hilarious laughter, and then somebody else would trump that and it would be louder and louder. And that noise would come up straight through the vent, and my brother and I didn't sleep very much that night. But it brought a smile to our face because Dad was having fun. We went around each of those areas of the house, and we went into the kitchen. Everybody's home. How much happens in the kitchen over those years? And I recall the day after my father had died, and Dad always sat at that one end of the table, and we went into the room, and telling that story that when we came home for that first meal after Dad had died, nobody would sit in that chair. And we remembered, and we remembered. And at the end of it all, we had a prayer in each of those rooms. We spritzed some holy water in all the spaces. And in each of those rooms, we said a prayer, thanking God for the joys that we had experienced all those years. And praying that this new family that was now going to make this their home, that they could have those same joys. It was a liminal time, but an important time. At every part of our lives, there is that time where we have been, and now God is calling us to transition forward. And in the remembering and in the praying, God can move us forward, whether it's just in these 4 weeks of this Advent or in our entire lives. We talked about the house was empty, but our hearts are full. Memories that will carry us forward. This is what Isaiah is talking about. This is what the psalmist is talking about. This is what Peter is talking about. This is what John the Baptist is calling us to. So in whatever way, may we make straight in our own lives a highway for God to enter therein. Amen.